Okay, welcome back. We continue our journey through the Siddur, through the prayer book, and we are going to cover a lot of ground. Those of you who are following along, we're going to go from page 22 all the way till page 52 this week. And the way we're going to do that is by skipping it. Little trick, but you'll see. I'll explain what I mean. We're going to see what this whole section is about, why it's there, and why it's why I'm skipping it in our class. The reason is because most people skip it. Most people do not say these parts of the prayer. And this is a section known as Karbanos. Okay, Karbanos literally means sacrifices. That's a translation they use. It actually comes from the word to be close to. So it's more an offering, maybe the word is. And let's just talk about the history of it, what it was, and why it's important, and why it's in this part of prayer, what it has to do with it. So the Karbanos were Jewish people, had a Beis HaMikdash, a temple in Jerusalem, right where the Western Wall is still is today. We had a building there for about 1,000 years, and in other locations for another few hundred years, and there used to be sacrifices. It was considered the house of Hashem. And to understand it, a person's house is where you see what they're all about. And in this home, it was the focus was Hashem, and that everything in this world is devoted to Hashem. So they had a part there where all of the people or representatives of the Jewish people were subservient to Hashem, showing that we are subservient to Him. But in addition, there were sacrifices, animal sacrifices, plant sacrifices, to show that all the animal kingdom is subservient to Hashem, is focused on Hashem. All the plants and everything that's out there is all focused and all there to serve Hashem. So that was the Beis HaMikdash, and we had a part of it, and that was a very central part of the Jewish people. One of the most important sacrifices, of course, other ideas, those offerings, when we would see the animals be killed, that was to remind us that maybe our lives should be there. Maybe we should be the ones being killed if we didn't behave properly. And just again, that our very souls and lifeblood is all there for Hashem. It was an inspiring place. People used to go there and be inspired to be better Jews and better people. We don't have it anymore for the past 2,000 years. And in fact, at about the time when they saw that sacrifices at the temple would be destroyed, or they realized that this would happen one day, that's prayer kind of comes instead of that. They're very, very connected, sacrifices and prayer. They're both called avoda, service. They're the service to Hashem. And while it used to be, let's say, this communal service in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, today we have a personal service. And one of the ways these two things are connected is the fact that we have three prayers a day, and they are corresponding for three central parts of the sacrifices. Every morning, we would have a sacrifice called the Tamid. Tamid literally means constant or consistent. And every morning, no matter what else was going on, we would bring a sacrifice of one lamb in the morning and one lamb in the evening. That's the Tamid sacrifice. And corresponding to that, evening means still while it's daytime before sunset. So corresponding to that, we have the morning prayers, then the afternoon prayers. On Shabbos and holidays, we would bring an extra sacrifice called the Musaf, and today we have an extra set of prayers on those holy days. In the evening, there was no sacrifice, but there was a kind of, they would burn the animal. I mean, the sacrifice is not only just the burning, it was the slaughter of the animal and the rest of the process. The burning would often get done at night, and that is why we have the evening services. So the services that we have today, the davening that we have today, corresponds to those sacrifices. Sounds quite important. Would make a lot of sense that we are going to talk about the sacrifices. Interestingly enough, that's not the main reason why we talk about the sacrifices right now. The real reason why we're talking about them has to do with Torah study. We know how important, and we discussed it before. We made the blessings on the Torah. We learned a little bit of Torah. Torah study is important, and so we want to learn even more Torah. And the portion of Torah that we choose is the portion of the sacrifices, because, like I explained, prayer and sacrifice are so connected. There's another interesting piece of Gemara that says why we study about sacrifices right now. And that's based on a story in Bereishis, chapter 15, where Avram turns to Hashem. And Hashem had already promised him the land of Israel, to him and to his children, although he hadn't had children at the time, but he said, you will have children and they will get the land of Israel. Avram was, of course, very excited by this, but he says, how do I know that this will always be? Meaning, maybe my children won't be deserving of the land of Israel. The land of Israel is a very holy place. We have to behave a certain way. If we stop behaving that way, we could get kicked out. That happened to other nations, and it could happen to us too, said Avram. And Hashem says, don't worry, you'll have something called sacrifices. Those sacrifices, karbanos, are so precious that, again, this is not explicitly in the Torah, but this is the way the Gemara understands it. The Torah talks about how Hashem told him to take animals and split them in half and so on. Check that out over there. But the way the Gemara explains it is that he was telling him, in the future you'll have sacrifices, and the sacrifices will, you know, bring us back in the good graces of God. So Hashem turns, Avram turns back. He says, okay, that's very nice. When there is a Beis HaMikdash and we'll have the sacrifices, that'll be good for 1,500 years. But what about for the next 2,000 years when there is no Beis HaMikdash? How will we get Israel? And of course, we were kicked out of Israel, but ultimately we have returned miraculously. And that was always our destiny and our hope. And so he says, how will we get back then? And Hashem says, okay, I have an idea. Instead of bringing the sacrifices, read about bringing sacrifices. If you can't do the actual mitzvah, study the laws of the mitzvah, and that will be as if you did the mitzvah. Again, this is by sacrifices, but it's by all mitzvahs. If there's a mitzvah you can't do and you want to do, interesting thing to think about, a person desires to do some mitzvah, he wants to live in the land of Israel, but he's not able to right now, he should study about the laws of living in Israel, and that is as if, to a certain degree, as if he did it. So Hashem tells Avram, they will study the laws of sacrifices. So sacrifices are quite important. Studying the laws of sacrifice are quite important. So yes, we want to study. We pick sacrifices. It's very appropriate that we pick it. It's very important. It has to do with why we get forgiven for what we have done wrong. And in addition, it's quite appropriate because it has to do with the whole of prayer. Is a sacrifice. If you remember in our introduction, we spoke about our journey through the Beis HaMikdash, how we were walking one step at a time, getting closer and closer. Where we are right now, if you're following along, is in the by the Mizbeach. Mizbeach is where they would burn the animals, so it's quite appropriate that we're going to be talking about Karbanos right here. Why is it skipped? And let's say what's there. It's 30 pages. So what sacrifices are there? So again, it talks about it in the Torah, quotes those sources, and it quotes, it's not so much prayer, really. There is some prayers in there, but it's mostly study of Torah, what's in the Torah, and what's in the Mishnah, and what's in the Gemara of different ideas, sacrifices that were brought regularly. It talks about the Akedah, actually, originally, which was when Avram sacrificed or attempted to sacrifice his son Isaac, Yitzchak. And some other little tidbits, different parts of our preparation. It's skipped often. I shouldn't say it's, you don't have to skip it. You could say it. There are people who say it. I would say you go to your average synagogue and you'll see 100 people praying. five to ten of them are saying carbono. So it's really, I wouldn't say it's not said, but it's not commonly said. There are certainly places that more people say it. But at this point, we're going to skip it in our podcast. We can return to it at some other point to delve more into it. But since most people are not saying it, we're not going to study it in this class. The reason it's skipped is because the main idea is to study Torah. And our teacher said, you don't have to study this piece of Torah, you can study a different piece of Torah. It's very common practice to start our day, in addition to davening, praying, with study of Torah. People have classes before their davening, after their davening. And so we don't want to add more to the prayers just so to be able to learn and take away from our Torah learning time. In a certain way, other parts, as nice as it is to learn about the sacrifices, to read the same thing every day lacks a little bit in the Torah study. Torah study, an important element, a very important element of it, is the intellectual work and understanding and breadth of Torah knowledge. And by keep delving, reading the same words, it's lacking in that way. See, it's funny, prayer is different than that. Prayer, you can pray the same thing every day and it hits deeper because it's more of the work of the heart, and the heart has to constantly delve into it. Torah is more the work of the mind, and the mind is looking for new things and new deeper ideas. Okay, so therefore it became practice to say, cut out a little bit of this Torah learning from the sacrifices and say the do your own Torah study. I do want to read one part. It is brought down in Torah law and halacha that you really should read this part. It was the sacrifice of the tamid, the daily sacrifice. So I don't know how common it is that people read it, but it's important. And we'll read that. It has a little prayer in there too that really gets to the depth of what sacrifices are about. And so it's important. And then we'll read the piece from the Torah that describes the tamid, the daily morning sacrifice. And that will be our token karbanos, token sacrifices prayer that we have. So we're on page 32, 33 in the English, and we'll read along. It's pretty easy reading. In the Hebrew, Yiratzum Lefanacha, Hashem Elokeinu Elokeinu, may it be your will, Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers, Shetirachem Aleinu, you have mercy on us, V'simcha Lanu, Al Kol Chatosenu, forgive us for all our sins, which is, of course, the point of sacrifices, which are other expressions that mean forgive us for our sins, and forgive us for our sins are different words for forgiving and different words for sins. Maybe we'll delve into a different point of the prayer, but we just say three times, please forgive us for all our different types of sins. Once we're talking about sacrifices, we say, Hashem, please build the temple. That's really the way we want to do it, not just talk about the Beis Hamikdash and the Karbanos, but actually bring them quickly in our days. And then we'll bring in front of you the Karban Tamid, the daily sacrifice. That will forgive us. Like it is written in your Torah, through your servant Moshe, in your name, right? Moshe wrote the Torah in the name of God, as it says. And then we quote the following. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Tzavas ben Yisrael, command the Jewish people, v'amartaleim, and tell them, es korbani lachmi li'ishai, my sacrifice, my bread for fire." Okay, that is the way it describes a sacrifice. Reach nechoak, a pleasant smell. So the smoke would rise up, and that would be a pleasant smell to Hashem. Not literally, of course, Hashem doesn't have preferences when it comes to smells, but these are teaching halachas, each of these words, in the way to prepare the sacrifice, and also ideas. But we're just going to read it on its simple level. Bring my sacrifice. Tishmeru l'akriv li b'mado. Watch that you bring it in its time, meaning every morning. V'amartalem, tell the Jewish people, Zah isha asher takriv l'Hashem. This is the fire offering. Right? Isha comes from the word esh, fire. This is the fire offering that you shall bring close to Hashem. Kvasim b'nei shana tamimim. 1-year-old sheep that don't have a blemish, Shnayim layom, two a day. Ola samid, it goes up ever constantly, continually, consistently. So he's talking about two because he's going to talk about in one paragraph the morning and the evening tamid. One of them do in the morning, and the second one tasa bein arbayim. And the Gemara teaches us that this was a sandwich. They would never bring any sacrifice, nearly any sacrifice before, or nearly any sacrifice after these two sacrifices. They were always the first and last thing that happened each day. Basir sa'ifa solas lamincha, and a tenth, so along with the meat, the sheep, the lamb, should say, would come along some flour and some wine. So the flour would be a tenth of an epha, which is a measurement. Solus al-mincha, fine flour for a mincha, which is a plant offering, a wheat offering that would go along. Belula b'shemen, it was mixed with oil, kassis, and smash. That's how they would prepare the flour offering. Revias ahin, the oil was a quarter of a hin. Again, a measurement. Olas tamid, a constant. Ola is a fully burnt offering. Asuya by Har Sinai, like was made by Har Sinai. There were sacrifices by Har Sinai, the Ola. L'reach nechoch, a pleasant smell. Isha l'Hashem, a fire offering to Hashem. Benisko, and in addition to the meat and the bread, there was a pouring of revias ahin, l'keves ha'achad, a pouring of a quarter of a hin of wine for each sheep. Bakodesh haseich nesech sheicher l'Hashem. That was poured a holy shecher, is like intoxicating. Here it says a fermented, but something that is alcoholic, the wine. And they would pour that to Hashem. There was a hole, a special hole on the mizbeach, on that altar. They would pour it to near where they burnt the animal. And the second one, tasa ben arbayim, they would do in the evening, again before nightfall. Keminchas. In fact, very often it was much earlier. It was, you know, in the afternoon. Keminchas haboker, just like in the same way they would bring the animal in the evening, they would bring the mincha, the plant, the flower offering, uchenisko, and the wine offering, tasa, isha reich nechoch l'Hashem, a fire offering with pleasant smell for Hashem. V'shachar also al yerech ha-mizbeach, you will slaughter it on the side of the altar, tzafona, on the north side, lifnei Hashem, the zarku bnei Aaron Okanim is damo al mizbeach saviv, and you will sprinkle it. The Kohanim will sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. Now, this is actually some words from a different part, but it throws it in here, telling you basically what you do with the sacrifice. It is important. I mentioned it briefly before that part of the whole idea of the sacrifice is that when you see the animal being killed, you say, well, if I was deserving of death, that should be an atonement for me. And when you see the blood poured, you say, well, if I was deserving of my blood being spilled, that should be an atonement for me. So you say these verses saying that the animal was slaughtered and the blood was sprinkled, thinking that it should be a kapara, it should be a forgiveness for you if you were deserving anything like that. Yiratzon, and you finish off with the final prayer. So again, the middle is not prayer, it's Torah study telling you what the sacrifice looks like. And then before and after, we have a prayer bringing it home, connecting it to what we're trying to do. Yiratzon, let it be your will, Mufanacha, Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, Shetei Amirazu Chashuva Mekubelas, that this saying that I did, and like I said, just studying these laws that are if you brought it, so let the saying of these, Chashuva, be considered Umekubelas, and accepted umarutza and desirable lefanacha before you, kilu karavnu karban tamid b'moado, as if I sacrificed the tamid offering in its right time, u'makom in its right place, u'kechasa, and with all its proper laws. And that is all. That is a nice thing to say, if you so desire, a little token sacrifice, the one that was brought every day, and that the whole morning service is corresponding to, and that will be brought. But I think this is actually a good place to start. We're not going to start the topic for next time, but we will get to Psukei Dezimra next time, which is a big segment. I think probably one of the most intimidating parts of prayer, most difficult parts. It loses people sometimes, but it hopefully we will bring some meaning to it like we've been trying to do, and try to connect to it the best we can. To review, we quickly went through these 30 pages of karbanos, of sacrifices, understood why it's here, why it's important, and why we don't say it. But if you have time, you can check it out. And we went through the one morning sacrifice and that prayer and the easy words there and the intention that a person should have when they say it. Okay, we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.